The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend on this show, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll share some insights, we'll make some connections, and hopefully have some fun. I'm your host, Melissa Fugazza, and today we'll be discussing President Dallin A. Jokes' talk, The Teachings of Jesus Christ. For this episode, we've invited our very special guest, Jennifer Roach.
Hello.
Jen is a regular on Conference Talk, but just in case anyone has not caught you before, Jen, would you like to give a little brief intro of yourself?
Yeah, I'm a mental health therapist. I live in Utah. I host a Come Follow Me podcast for FAIR, the organization, and we do evangelical LDS conversation. So basically going through the text, picking out the parts that evangelicals might wonder about our church, trying to help Latter-day Saints understand what evangelicals are saying and maybe trying to help them understand what we're saying.
So you're bridging the gap.
Trying my best.
You do a great job of it. Now, when we were chatting earlier, I was going to bring this up, but you won an award during FAIR Conference. Oh, come on. Just tell us what it was for.
You want me to show it? You want me to show it to you? Video?
Not video, but I will verbally describe what I see with my eyes so those can hear. Ooh, it's pretty. It's glass see-through.
Right.
The John Taylor Defender of the Faith Award.
I know. So I am incredibly proud to have received this award. However, I low-key think that they should name it the Porter Rockwell Defender of the Faith. He was Joseph Smith's bodyguard. He's a little unhinged. He was something to reckon with. And so, like, John Taylor's super cool. I'm happy to receive an award in his name, but I kind of wish it would have been Porter Rockwell.
I say next time we, like, vote for that. Like, be cool, but, like, Porter Rockwell. I know. Yeah. He doesn't get enough play. He doesn't get enough recognition, I think.
There's a great meme where he's holding it's like a gun it's a fake gun because it's got, like, 5 or 8 barrels, like where the bullets can come out, and standing in front of him are, you know, 8 of the enemies of the church, and the caption just says, "Porter, no."
I do have to say this, you and I are friends on Facebook, and you post some of the funniest, like, memes and jokes. It kills me. Like, I'll go, like, on a social media fast for, like, a week every once in a while, and I'll get on and I'll be scrolling through, and yours are just, they're like religious ones, mental health ones, but I love it because you have just this kind of similar sense of humor that I do. And so it just hits me and I just laugh out loud and people are like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "This is so good."
That is why God created social media, to share memes.
I agree 100%. It makes my day better. I don't know about anybody else. Really does.
Yep.
So it's cool that we're actually talking about this talk, because as we were chatting before, we were talking about this. So President Dallin H. Oaks, in this conference talk, all he does in this talk is quote scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to kind of pick it apart a little bit, but you don't want to, I mean, at least I know me, I don't want to pick it apart too much, because he's literally quoting Jesus Christ in the New Testament, the Book of Mormon. I'm trying to remember seeing on the, no, oh, yeah, the New Testament, the Book of Mormon. There's some Joseph Smith translation.
Yeah, the Joseph Smith stuff. Do you remember, Melissa, has anyone ever done that in conference before, just quoted scripture like that?
Not from my memory. I am almost 45 years old.
Okay, there's a lot of conferences.
It is a lot of conferences. I mean, I know I'm not, like, really old or anything, but I'm also not young. And I've kind of been a big thing about conference for about 20 years. And at least in 20 years, I remember talks being really long. Like, for example, I actually was looking this up because you can go back and, you know, watch or read as many, but it's actually kind of funny because General Conference used to have way less speakers, but the talks were way longer. So you'd have like 10 speakers for the whole thing and you were just, you know, sitting there. So there's that, but not this whole regularly. Okay. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Very, very interesting.
And I think the other thing we mentioned earlier that I find interesting is that it's President Oaks doing this. He's always been a straight shooter. He's never minced his words. He's always very direct. Actually, his MO is getting up on the pulpit and going, "My topic today is this." And then he just launches right into his talk. And that's usually what he does. But he starts it by saying, "We believe in Christ. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we worship him and follow his teachings in the scriptures." And then he literally goes into doctrine and he quotes scripture the entire time.
Yeah. You know, the second paragraph in this talk, or third paragraph, he says, you know, often when we think about Jesus, we think about what he did and that's important, but it is more than just a story.
Yes.
Like this isn't just like, oh, here's the narrative of what happened to Jesus. He is teaching along the way. And that's different than some of the other things that we read in the Bible. This and this happened to this and this prophet. And Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. But Daniel isn't doing tons of like, if you wanted to make a talk of quoting all the things that Daniel taught, he writes a lot. But I mean, this is really different. So I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, because obviously if you're in the church and you're studying the New Testament this year, and we're in Romans now, but you know, we've gone through like the first three gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, then there's fourth John. And it is interesting in those because, you know, they had very different styles. They were sharing what they recalled, what they remembered when they spent their time with him. And some of them are they just have different memories of them. Matthew, I feel like he was like, I felt like he was like following Jesus around with a notebook and literally just writing down every word he heard. I just feel like he kind of recorded that more. And then obviously Mark is, it's just all, they all have different styles.
Yeah.
But so I feel like, I feel like President Oaks went in and he just said, you know, looked at all of these, because he does quote a lot from those books. And he just says, let's focus on what Jesus said.
Yeah.
You know, let's get into that. So I'm just trying to think, that's the hardest thing about talking about this talk is I just don't want to edit out anything that Jesus said. So it's a hard thing to do.
This one's not important.
Yeah. Let's just skip over that scripture. Yeah. That's not a big deal. But I do want to say what I did. So I told you this, Jen, but obviously those who are listening didn't know this, but I print out the talks that we cover and then I kind of take notes. And so the way that this talk printed out is because he is quoting Jesus Christ, it's like in sentence form and then there's space underneath. So I'm going to give just a couple examples of some of the things that came to me as I read these scriptures. My question in my mind as I was doing this is, President Oaks is giving this talk in scripture. So what is he trying to say? You know, Jesus is teaching through these scriptures. So what is it President Oaks is wanting us to pick up on? Right. Mm-hmm. That was the thought I had. So one of them said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And the very moment I read that, the phrase clean thoughts came up in my mind. It's like, I need to have clean thoughts. And obviously it's more than that, but that was kind of the spirit saying to me, Melissa, this is what he wants you to hear. And I think if you go through this talk and you are prayerful and you read it, I hope and pray that the spirit will do the same thing to you, right? That you'll read through it and go, oh yeah, he said this, he's quoting Jesus, but this is what I'm supposed to do with it. Huh. Are there any sections that jumped out to you in that way?
You know, even as you were saying that, I know he's listing these in the order Jesus said them. And he is kind of like picking and choosing what ones he's putting in. The interesting way that President Oaks has arranged these is it's things like that. Like, you got to watch your thoughts, stuff about like take up your cross and like some of these really hard things. And intermixed in all of those is assurances of love, assurances that God is with you, assurances of like, you do my will, like I am here with you. And I don't know. I wish I knew. Did he pick things out kind of in this alternating order like that on purpose? Jesus talks a lot about both, so it could have not been on purpose. But there isn't really a point in some ways of striving to keep the commandments if you don't also strive to understand like God's love for you and your place in God's family. You could live this wonderful moral life and still miss a huge part of what it means to be a child of God. All of the support and love and encouragement that are also in these verses. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. And as you were saying that, it kind of made me think. So when I first heard this talk and I realized he was just quoting scripture the whole time, I did get the impression I'm going to need to go back and really understand what he's saying in this talk, because obviously there are things going on in this talk that only the Spirit can reveal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And President Oaks must have felt that prompting to mm-hmm. do it in this way so that all of us collectively, but as individuals, could study this talk and have the Spirit mm-hmm. tell us what we need to hear on our own. And one of them for me was, where is it? I just had it. Well, on a personal note, I'm in school again. I'm getting my bachelor's degree, even if it kills me. And yeah. So, but one thing I have been really thinking about is, what is it that I'm going to do with it when I'm done? You know, what yeah. is, I mean, there's all the questions with that, but ultimately my greatest desire is, obviously I want to help contribute to building up the kingdom of God on the earth. Mm-hmm. And I want to do something that will help in that way. And one of the things that he says here is, wherefore, this is Jesus talking, obviously, wherefore seek not the things of this world, but seek ye first to build up the kingdom of God and to establish his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And for me personally, as I've been picking apart conference talks, my patriarchal blessing, praying regularly, like, Lord, what is it you want me to do with what I'm doing? I want to do the right thing, but I don't really know the answer yet. And I just, that to me was, I've read that scripture a million times.
Yeah.
But it hit me like, oh yeah, okay. I just need to do what I can do to build up God's kingdom on the earth. And that's, you know, that's what's mm-hmm. most important, however that looks, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I think it's very interesting how he did this talk.
I love the very last scripture that he ends with, kind of along those same lines. I'm going to send you the Comforter. He's the Holy Ghost. He is going to help you remember these things that I have said to you, that's how it goes, right? Like, you have a question about your life that's very, very particular, and the Spirit brings remembrances of what is in the scripture to you. What's in your patriarchal blessing? What else have you heard from, like, that? I mean, I think earlier we were talking about this, like, this is a pretty good to-do list, and yet it's not a to-do list, right? It's like, live this way, and I am going to help you remember these things, because this is a lot.
Yeah. yeah. Well, it is. I mean, I went printing this out, it's like 3 full pages of just the quote of him quoting, you know, he's speaking in scripture. And I'm writing these out and I'm just flipping through them. And as I'm reading what I've written, I'm like, oh yeah, like this is this is pretty standard. But at the same time, I'm like, this for someone who is new to the gospel or listening with faith and seeking to know, these are some big things. These are huge. Yeah. You know, like divine rest is only found when we're yoked with Christ. We need to leave the world behind. Like some of this is, I guess theoretically on the outside, on the surface, we're like, yeah, we've been told that a million times before. But this is, he's literally saying, but no, this is the key. I know that with General Conference, I always try to go into that season with prayers of finding answers to questions that I have. And part of me makes me wonder, I mean, I guess I didn't particularly feel that way specifically about this talk, but part of me is wondering this, the way he gave this talk and how he structured it. I wonder, I wish I could do, maybe I'll do a survey of like how many people really felt like, you know, they were getting answers through this talk, because obviously the Spirit was testifying the entire time.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the other reasons I like that last verse, is exactly this, is yes, the Spirit is going to bring those things to you. Absolutely. That is what we are promised. But he shall teach you all these things and bring them to your remembrance is a like a clue to us of you also have to study. You also have to be in the scriptures, reading these things. It doesn't say the Spirit's going to open up your brain and just drop verses in there that you've never read.
Yes.
If you would like the Holy Ghost to remind you of some things, he shall teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance. Well, then you need to have studied them so that you can remember them.
Yes, that is true.
Every once in a while, man, you run into someone who's like, I don't need to study. I just follow the Spirit. Like, well, good luck with that. Because if you don't have your nose in the scriptures, I'm not sure what he's going to remind you of.
That is so true. That is a very good point. And I love how it's like he's given talks before, because he ties it up so perfectly. You know, he starts with saying, we believe in Christ. This is what we know. And then, he ends it with the promise of the Holy Ghost will bring these things to remembrance. It also reminds me of how Moroni ends the Book of Mormon. You know, he's saying, hey, you know, you can take my word for it, or you can do the work, read the record, and pray and know for yourself. And then the Spirit will manifest to you.
Yeah.
We called it, you know, Moroni's promise. Yeah. When we were missionaries, I remember we'd always highlight it and give it to them. Yeah.
I have told this story on my podcast before, but I will tell you, it's sort of sad. And I don't say this to make fun of this girl at all. She's a young missionary sister, and it's a conversation. We're having a conversation about scriptures. And she says, you know, scripture study is really, it's a priesthood thing. I know, right? I wish the audience could see your face right now.
Yeah, I was horrified, just in case anyone wanted to know.
And I know what she meant. She meant this is a male thing. This is for the boys and the men, not for the girls and the women. However, it shocked me sort of that she missed the entire meaning of what she said. This is a priesthood thing. And both men and women can access the priesthood through reading the scriptures. She was absolutely right. She didn't know she was right. She meant it. Men study the scriptures. We don't really do that. I horrified face right there again.
I'm sorry I can't get over that.
I know it was very befuddling and sad. And you know, we have talked a lot in recent years about, like, how do women access the priesthood, how do women access the power of that, right? We are not ordained to it, and yet we have access to the power. Well, one of the main ways is through studying the scriptures. You would like the power of God? Well, here you go. We'll put it in a book for you.
Yeah.
Of that, like, little attitude that's out there of like, no, like, women don't really do that, it just drove me crazy.
I'm going to have to stir the pot a little bit and say, I feel like that's a little bit of a total cop out because, I mean, I have seen this, you know, I've been a member of the church my whole life. I have seen this whole misunderstanding, misconception about the priesthood a lot with women, a lot. Yeah. And more specifically with a little bit older generation than me. So women that are in their 60s and their 70s and so on. And they're like, oh yeah, the priesthood, the men have the priesthood. And I'm like, no, we have to clarify this. The priesthood is the power of God. Men hold offices of the priesthood. There's, you know, we all have access to the power of the priesthood through keeping our covenants and anyway, the whole thing. So it has been an interesting experience because I'll find myself in like a Relief Society class and there'll be a lesson going and they're like, oh yeah, the men and the priesthood. And I'm like, they're not like that synonymously. You have to remember to identify them for what they are, you know? Yeah. And that's hard because I love, I was just reading yesterday. I cannot remember where I am in our Come Follow Me because I'm behind, but I was reading about the spirit of prophecy and how a prophet is a person who has the spirit of prophecy, which is a testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that is a prophet. Now, people hear the word prophet and they think, oh, but there's only one prophet. They're correct in the way that the church is being led.
A capital P prophets.
Right. But lowercase p prophets could be anyone, male or female, that has a testimony of Jesus Christ. And they can prophesy of what they know. Now, if you don't read your scriptures and study and pray and know stuff, you can't do that.
Yeah. In the book of Acts, there's this tiny little verse that most people just pass right over, but it talks about Stephen had four daughters and says all of them prophesied. They're four virgin daughters. So they're young, unmarried girls.
Yeah.
But somehow they know enough to say that, like, not capital P prophets.
Lowercase P.
but lowercase P prophets of, like, this is the power of God and I'm going to talk to you about it. Like, I love that verse. It's the tiniest little verse and we run right past it. But here's these like very young girls, very, very early, 10 years, less than that after Christ is resurrected. And they're like, no, I'm going to tell you what's up.
So interesting. So I think that's what's so interesting about these conference talks. I don't know. I feel like there's only so much that our prophets and apostles can teach us if we're not willing to dig in and do the work. And like that poor sister who thinks it's a priesthood thing, I mean, she's going to completely overlook this talk if she has that attitude of, you know, what's the point of digging deeper, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this talk out of all of them, I was like, I do remember listening to it and going, I know I'm going to have to dig through that talk because he did not make that easy for me.
It is much more reminiscent of old school conference talks where it wasn't like, here's a really well-polished story that has like this great, like powerful impact. I'm going to tell you a story and I'm going to tell you about this person I met and I'm going to show you a cute picture. And like conference talks today are very, very much, made for modern people, right? We need them to be as they are because otherwise we don't know how to listen. But back in the day, it was not like that. It was lots of like, here's what you need to know and like expository teaching in this really, really direct way. And President Oakes certainly delivers this in a kind, warm manner. It's not like he's being cold delivering it. But it's much more direct. Like, even if you go back to the 70s, those talks are not the modern talks that we hear today.
Yeah, it's true. I know it's cool because I know obviously the Lord is there in all the words of his prophets and apostles, but he literally invites the Lord to speak during general conference in this talk. I just think that's really, really powerful and really cool. Yeah. So any final thoughts or counsel for those that are going through this talk? What do you think?
You know, I think it could be overwhelming in a lot of ways for some people of like, well, gosh, this kind of is a long list of things I'm supposed to be and feel and do and say. And if you picked one verse and you said, I'm going to work on really leaning into this one verse for the next week or the next month or whatever, my goodness, would you get far in your spiritual life? None of the verses are that long in and of themselves.
No, they're not. They're like a sentence each.
Yeah.
Or two, you know?
But like if you took the verse, like, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest you be tempted by the devil. You lean into that verse for a week, you're going to be doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. Yeah, I feel that way too. And one thing for me on a personal level for studying scripture is also just understanding the context of what's happening, the background. Mm-hmm. I love how this was given in April, Easter time.
Yeah.
You know, he's sharing these messages and teachings of Jesus at Easter time, which is so cool. You know, obviously it's not coincidental. It's intentional what he taught. And so I encourage everyone who's listening to not only go back and read or listen to the talk. I do love watching it again. I love seeing the facial expressions and the delivery, but I also like reading it too. It just kind of hits all my senses. Mm-hmm. And then also there's, like I was telling you, there's like two pages of footnotes of just the quotes, all the scriptures that he quotes.
Yeah. Talk about that first presidency statement what's it like 1916 or something.
Okay. So one of the footnotes, I was telling Jen about this before, I had never read this before. So there is a footnote that's, and this is in reference to the part at the beginning. It's like in the second paragraph where he says, from this direction, we conclude that the scriptural records of words spoken by God or the Lord are almost always the words of Jehovah, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. So if you go to the footnote, it says, see the Father and the Son, a doctrinal exposition by the first presidency and the 12. And this was given back in August of 1916. But if you can't find that, I did have to Google it. And then it kicked me back to Gospel mm-hmm. Library. But it said they did a reprint of it in April of 2002 in the Ensign. And it is this really cool article explaining mm-hmm. how we see God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. So especially for those Christians that say, oh, we don't believe the Godhead, we see, you know, they have the Holy Trinity, we see it a little differently. This is the perfect article for you to read or for you to give to them. Mm-hmm. It clarifies it beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. I love it. It's surprising that like we still reference things back to more than 100 years ago.
Oh, I love it. I'll sometimes just, you know, there'll be like something in like the archives and I'll dig back mm-hmm. and go, where has this been? You know? Yeah, it's really cool clarifying things like that. But anyway.
This is like major geek level, but sometimes I'll go on the website for the Joseph Smith papers and look up his diary on the same date. Like it's August 8th, right? What was he doing on August 8th of whatever random year? And sometimes it's just like, I hoed potatoes for 4 hours today, right? But sometimes it's really just really like incredibly relevant things of not famous quotes that we get from him, but he's just writing what he did or what he's learning. Like, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I love it. It makes it so personal. I don't know. I try to. So I am related to Joseph Smith and to Emma Smith, but
what?
Yeah, it's so crazy. And what's weird is I read the biography of Emma Smith and I can see that we have some similarity, like some common interests or, you know, mm-hmm. some common personality traits. And Joseph Smith, I love reading, I don't know, I just love reading about how people lived in a different time mm-hmm. and how, you know, it's very easy for us as members of the church to kind of see people in this like tunnel vision focus. Joseph Smith was this amazing whatever and stuff.
Yeah.
He was a human being. He started as a young boy and he had to muddle his way through all of it. And if you were to sum up his life in a paragraph, it would be a really sad story.
Yeah.
Honestly, But he had just such great, I don't know, and I love that because it provides context, you know. Mm-hmm. Same thing, obviously, with the story of Jesus Christ, of his mortal mission, you know, yeah. his birth and everything that happens after it and leading up to it. It would be, in a paragraph, also a very tragic mm-hmm. story. But yeah. we know that it's not because of what he accomplished, right? And so I think it's important. You can just go through and read this talk, sure, just blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, that's nice. All these scriptures, whatever. Or you can go through and you can read this talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can mm-hmm. say, okay, what was happening in Matthew chapter whatever, 7? Why was Jesus saying this right now? You're right? Yeah. What were the people doing? What were they thinking? What was going on at the time? What feast were they getting ready for? That's the other yeah. thing for me, is learning all the feasts and the gatherings and the purposes of them. Another big, huge thing that I would just like to say mm-hmm. is these people did not have access to scriptures yeah. like anything that we have nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely not. It was an incredible, most people never touched them.
Yes.
They could hear the scrolls read. They didn't have their own and they did not touch them themselves. Whereas I can touch 7 things right in front of me where I could access the scriptures.
Yeah. We could have, if you're on the Gospel Library
yeah.
app, I can't even tell you what you have access to. I'm yeah. still, I'll get on there. I'll be like, whoa, I didn't know this was in there, you know, yeah. or videos or historical documents mm-hmm. and all kinds of things. So here's my question. Let's say this talk, President Oakes, let's say this was given 2,000 years ago, all in its condensed, yeah. or 1,000 years ago, or 700 years ago.
Yeah.
How much of this would be remembered? You know, people would listen yeah. to it, and then they'd probably walk away and retain maybe like 40% of it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that much.
Yeah. It's truly something to think about, that we have mm-hmm. this, we are truly blessed and gifted
yeah.
this amazing ability to really learn more. And with that being said, though, I know we can get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You're a therapist, you can tell me, but I think spiritual burnout can actually mm-hmm. like be a thing.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much our mortal bodies can handle, but doing just a little consistent yeah. things every day just is great.
The other thing that makes me think of, just very quickly, is we have accuracy that other people did not have, right? Because they're, especially like before the printing press, like this guy copies it this way and there's an error, and so all the copies made from that copy get errors. Yeah. Last week at the fair conference, a woman, elderly woman, she is an expert in shorthand, in all the many varieties of shorthand, and she has gone through the old journals that people used to keep writing in shorthand of Brigham Young's talks, and she compares all the shorthand with what's in the Journal of Discourses, and she can show you all the ways where things deviate, and like this person is more accurate, and this, you know, these three people had it right, this one didn't. And even back then, the accuracy issue, I mean, that was 150 years ago or whatever, accuracy was not guaranteed.
No, it wasn't.
Not like we have it today.
Well, even just a couple hundred years ago, I was reading this and I thought, oh my gosh, this only adds to our confusion. So to save paper, you know, because paper, that's another thing, yeah. you know, you just buy it in the reams now, but, you know, people would get like sheets of paper. And so to conserve space, they would write from top to bottom, yes. and then they would like, you know, write on the back, but then they'd flip yeah. it back over and turn it, and yeah. then write in between the lines or like across where you could yeah. read. So you'd have to like, how, seriously, how many misconceptions could you get from that? Probably so many.
So many.
You know, so like, oh, many. I'm pretty sure that word means label, or, you know, yeah. you have to really, so there's a lot of, yeah, stuff that's lost in translation, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Except yeah. for poor spelling. Except for when we texting.
Except for when we don't read it.
That's the problem. If you're yeah. not reading it, then that's a bigger issue and you need to rectify that. But if you're yeah. reading it, that's the thing. I love it. I think the last time I did a thing with you, you were talking about doing, you called it the bread and butter, is just the praying, the reading the scriptures. Like, just do it every day, guys. A little bit, a lot of it, whatever. And just do it. And you will be amazed. You'll be amazed at the difference and what you get from it. So now
you don't have to sprint your entire marathon. Like, this life is really long. You can pace yourself a little bit. And if you are reading and studying consistently, the Spirit will bring to mind what you have already read, but you've got to put the information in there.
Right. And I love, someone said, and that kind of applies, it applies with scripture study. He says, live as though the second coming were tomorrow, but also live as though the second coming is a long, long time from now.
Yep.
And that's a great mentality. Study your scriptures every day, because it could be your last day, or it could be in 3 decades. But all that matters is that day anyway, right?
Yep. Yeah. Love it.
That's interesting. We just solve all the world's problems when we get together.
Yeah, people should just listen to us. Duh.
They should. We will just, the world would be so much better if they just listened to
this. It would. Maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe someday. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this.
Absolutely.
You have any other final thoughts you want to share about this talk?
The first time I heard it, I was like, what? He's quoting scripture? That's just, what a crazy weird talk. And now I just look at this and go, oh my goodness, this was brilliant. I just love it.
I agree. I just remember, I'm not going to lie, I think I was kind of in that like dozing off phase. I think this was the afternoon session, trying to stay awake, trying to keep focused. And then he spoke, and I remember thinking at the end, I mean, I have to go back and really study that, because obviously he's trying to say something and I'm not getting it.
So funny. I love it.
It's so great. He's so wonderful. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discussed President Dallin H. Oaks' address, The Teachings of Jesus Christ. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org. This is also where you can go to follow us on social media, leave us comments, and check out the show notes, and also find the resources we mentioned in the episodes and to learn more about us, your hosts. If you want to follow me, friend me on Facebook. That is still only where I'm at. Big thanks to our podcast guest, Jen Roach, for joining us today. You can follow her at, where can we find you, Jen?
FairLatterdaySaints.org, or their YouTube channel, which is where my podcast is. You also can friend me on Facebook for the fun scripture and mental health memes.
She really does have the best memes and make your day. Well, we appreciate new followers. It's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves. And remember, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.